Welcome to the Sarah Carter Show. Yes, America, we are still here, we are still surviving, and we are still struggling to figure out what is going on here. What's happening in our country, right? How do we put two and two together here when so much is upside down? And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what this means. And I'm talking about the upcoming November presidential elections. I'm talking about what we're hearing on the news every single day regarding COVID-19. Remember when I said early on in these podcasts, when we first started the closures, don't worry, when fall comes around, they're going to be talking about closing again. I said that. It wasn't because I have some kind of psychic ball in front of me. It's because the novel coronavirus, which is real, which is dangerous for some people, particularly people that are susceptible, is also being used as a political football. It is a political tool, and it's frightening. And now we see that Dr. Fauci and the White House are at each other's throats, and we see what's going on here, and we see people on the left, the Democrats, and by the way, Republicans who have always been wavering, who want to jump ship, doing the same thing and going after the president of the United States. This coronavirus mess, they didn't talk about in the same way when we saw the rioting on the streets with George Floyd. Please do not be fooled by what is happening here and by the media. There is a distinct hate for President Trump. He is not perfect. There are people on the left and people on the right that do not want him in office. They never have. He is a disruptor. But more important than that, they've never wanted you to have control. They didn't want the American people who voted for President Trump to be the disruptors. They want everything to be the same way, the establishment party. They want it all the same, the lobbyists, the people that pocket all the money, the people that run this planet, the people that like globalism because they know that they can make a ton of money after they get out of politics, going to work for big lobbying companies on K Street and going to work overseas and making their connections with their friends. They're not doing this for you. They don't really care about you. I hope you understand this. They really don't. And I'm gonna tell you something. And my friends, we are all going through this just like you are. We have children in school who may not be going back this fall. They are being used as a political football. I talked about it on Steve Hilton's show about how dangerous this is to our kids. There is no proof, and I'm going to look at this right now. I'm going straight from the CDC.gov, that there is no proof that children transmit the virus. And look, I came up with a great idea. If teachers, older teachers, are worried that they are going to get infected by children, they can teach from home, let our kids go to school, put the younger teachers' aides, assistants at the school so that the teachers who are susceptible, right, who are worried, why don't they teach from home? They can get on screen. They can do FaceTime from home and teach the students in class. That way we don't disrupt society so much. That way we keep a balance. But that way our children can go back to school and be with their friends and have some kind of normalcy. This is not healthy for them. And we have a lot of kids that are at home right now not learning anything. One, their parents just don't have time. Two, their parents may be immigrants. They don't even speak the language. Three, they just don't have the skills to do it. They don't have the resources to do it. Because of poverty, because of a number of issues. Let's get our society back on track, okay? I'm telling you this as a mom. I know what you're going through. I know, and I understand what my friends are going through because we have been talking about this all week, right? Give parents some input and give parents some choices. Give our tax money back so we can make other choices for our children, especially for those of us who have our children in public schools. Give the tax money back so that we can do and our friends can do what they need to do with their kids and send them and make the best selection possible, because there's a lot of schools out there, online schools, that are way better equipped at doing this than their public school is on the fly. And we've seen the results of that just based on what's happened over the past year. I'm going to move really quick because I'm like going crazy. I'm seeing all of these developments, you know, with Joe Biden, Vice President Biden is, you know, moving ahead in the polls, and you know, all of this is happening with President Trump, and the administration is nervous. People are saying there's been some reports in Axios and in other places that the president and some in the White House are nervous about what's happening right now. They should be. They should be nervous because right now we are at a crux, and you should be nervous too. You should be nervous too because right now we're at a time point in modern history where our nation could fundamentally change forever. If you think Joe Biden is really going to be running this country, you're completely wrong. I'm going to tell you why. Because he has a number of people behind him. These are progressive radical Democrats that are going to be using him. And I talk about this. It's like they are like the puppet masters. They have their own ideas of how they want to see American society. And that means removing your individual liberty and freedom. And I'm not being an alarmist here. They say it straight up. You know, when people used to ask me when I covered the war in Afghanistan, you know, Sarah, how do you know? How can you understand what the Taliban or Al-Qaeda is going to do? How do you judge what their next move might be? I would say because they tell me every day what their next move is. They tell me all the time what they believe. You know what they believe? It was simple. They hate Americans. They want them out of South Asia. They want to destroy the American way of life. They're willing to target us. They want to kill us. They want to kill us, or they want us to convert. That is what Al-Qaeda believed. That is what Islamic State believed. That is what the Taliban believed. They were very clear about what they believed and what they wanted. It was never a surprise. Even if I got on the phone with Zabihullah Mujahid or I talked to him, he was the Taliban spokesman, he would be very clear. He would say, Sara, we want the Americans out of Afghanistan. We will not stop killing Americans until they are out of Afghanistan. We will not stop killing Afghan government unless they change the government into an Islamic government. They were very clear. Well, let me show you this. This right here, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, all the new progressives are very clear about what they want. They're not hiding it from you. They are socialists. They are communists. They want to see fundamental changes across the board in our country, no matter what. They are not lying to you. You will be lying to yourself if you think they want something different. If you think they're coming in to some kind of new administration because they want to uphold the Constitution and our democratic fundamental beliefs in liberty and freedom, then you are fooling yourself because they have been completely clear. They are very much like Che Guevara, Fidel Castro, a number of other people in history who have been very clear about what they want. They want to fundamentally change our country. They want to fundamentally change our nation. We have gone through 4 years of being turned upside down by people who hate Donald Trump. The entire Russia hoax investigation, people, please get it through your head. There was nothing there. They totally lied. And by the way, William Barr, we are not going to wait until after the election for John Durham to come up with some kind of indictments against criminals. Why should we? Why should we? What's going on here? You have had all these years. It was very much like Sessions, right? Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions promising, we're going to indict, we're going to do this, we're going to go after that. You know, pick John Huber. Huber is going to, you know, from Utah, is going to bring about some type of indictment. I waited. We all waited. Nothing happened. Then here comes William Barr. Everybody's excited. William Barr is going to do the right thing. William Barr is going to do the right thing. He never did the right thing. Not yet. I'm still waiting. November's around the corner. Coronavirus should have nothing to do with it. This has been a long time investigation. I really, really hope that William Barr and John Durham, the U.S. attorney from Connecticut, does something to expose exactly what happened here to President Donald Trump. Because the people that should be prosecuted are Hillary Clinton, who basically hired a foreign former intelligence officer, Christopher Steele from MI6, paid him to basically promote lies about President Donald Trump, to basically take everybody around him and try to push disinformation throughout the world on them in order to effectively try to remove him from office. That was what they did. It's called a coup. That is what they did, but they didn't succeed. Okay, before I move any further, we do have an Ocasio-Cortez kind of twist to our guest today. It's so exciting. We have Michael Schellenberger here today. He is was a longtime environmentalist advocate. He still is. But folks, he is not proponent of the climate change that he used to propose before. So he's basically telling what Ocasio-Cortez is saying. Now, she's been actually selected to be on Joe Biden's climate change task force. But before you get so excited, all you environmentalists out there who think that what they are saying is accurate, you need to listen to Michael Schellenberger and his book, Apocalypse Never, Why Environmental Alarmism Hurts Us All. It's phenomenal stuff, and it really opened my eyes to what really is the cause of problems with our environment and how amazing and miraculous it's been over the last, 50 to 100 years, the changes and what we can learn from that. So this is a man that used to believe in it, used to believe in global warming, got all the facts and said, wait a minute, we were wrong. This is what we were right about, but this is what we were wrong about. So very excited to have him with us today. Michael, thanks so much for being on the Sarah Carter Show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited. This means a lot to me to have you on the show. Your book, Apocalypse Never, Why Environmental Alarmism Hurts Us All, is really incredible. And it's incredible because of your background. Tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you've been doing, over the last few decades.
Well, I'm a full-time environmental activist. I've been an environmentalist for over 30 years. I've been a climate activist for 20 years. I've advocated for both renewables and nuclear energy and have changed my mind on a bunch of things over time, including on the need for nuclear, which is something I used to oppose. I now think renewables actually end up causing more harm than good. And in my new book, which I decided to write last year, I talk about how climate alarmism and other forms of environmental alarmism have really negative consequences, particularly for adolescents. I became very concerned about this last year. My daughter's 14. She's fine because I explained the science to her, but a number of her friends are very worried that they won't live long enough to have kids.
Right. I just want to go in there really quick before I let you go on, because this is so important to so many parents. There are so many young people, my kids included, my friends' kids, who have been told that the world is coming to an end, that they should not have children, that, human beings are the cause of everything that's wrong on this planet, which is so insane because we're a part of this planet. I think we're just as beautiful as every animal I've ever seen when I've been, visiting Africa on the Masai Mara. We are just as extraordinary as every other part of this planet, but we've been told that we are the problem, right? Like we're some extra entity that showed up here out of nowhere.
Well, that's right. It's become very anti-human, the story that's been told. There's so much negativity, apocalypse in there. There's no science for any of it. The IPCC, which actually invited me to be an expert reviewer, that's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, invited me last year to be an expert reviewer. They don't predict any deaths from climate change. So, this, and one of the strategies that climate alarmists have used has been to confuse people into thinking natural disasters have gotten worse. The truth is they've gotten better. We've had a 90% decline in deaths from natural disasters. That's something we should celebrate, that hardly anybody gets killed by hurricanes or cyclones or floods anymore. And most of those problems are manageable. So what I wanted to do was write Apocalypse Never to separate out science from science fiction. Mm-hmm. There are serious environmental problems in the world. Climate change is real. It's not one of our most serious environmental problems. And I think we've really lost sight of the fact that we still have 2 billion people that are living in dire poverty that still use wood as fuel. And we've sort of forgotten about them. And so one of the things I wanted to do with Apocalypse Never was to tell the story of the aspirations of people in Africa and Asia and Latin America who still want to live modern lives and deserve to, and expose the ways in which so many of my colleagues have been trying to kind of keep people down in various ways.
Michael, how did we get here? How did this happen?
Well, it's a really interesting story. I mean, one of the things that I discovered while writing Apocalypse Never is that, we had your basic conservation movement, which is a very moderate movement, which always embraced saving wildlife and also lifting people out of poverty. that movement was actually overthrown in the 60s by the radical left that had some very anti-human ideas. It was I think it's a religious movement. The ideas are that the end is coming because we've sinned against nature. And I don't think it's any coincidence that many of the people that profess these beliefs believe that they are secular. And there's a whole body of research on this. They believe that they believe they're atheists. But I think what the research shows very clearly is that most of us need to believe in something. Most of us need a faith. And if we don't have one, then what's happened for many people is they start treating nature as the new God and science as the new religion. And of course, that's just not how science works. Science isn't a religion. It's a practice of trying to understand the truth about the world. So that's a summary of saying there's so many other things that have gone on, many other scares in the past, including around overpopulation, including around nuclear energy. And so what you discover at bottom of it is, I think, a really sort of sad desire to feel superior to other people. I noticed that I describe a lot of the people that are out there moralizing against things like driving or flying or eating meat are often insecure people that are looking for ways to put other people down.
Well, I want to go to Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She has a lot of influence over a lot of young people. I'm not asking you to get political here. I know that you're going to stick with the facts. You're going to stick with the science. But we have a lot of people like her in our government now, and a lot of people out there saying, you know, if we don't go to the extremes, if we don't get rid of cattle. Let me play that clip, because it's not just her. Bill Gates actually made this same statement about bovine flatulence, actually.
The animals that can eat grass have very unusual stomachs that have these bacteria that are methanogenic in there. And so they leak natural gas, both out the front and the back. And so people have said, well, let's change the hay or throw some things in there. And it's been, nobody knows how to get rid of
No one that, knows how to get cows to stop farting.
Exactly. Or burping. And so there is artificial meat, but that's at a very early stage. But that's another big source of greenhouse gas emissions. So, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that the people who acknowledge the problem, which I think is fantastic, that they understand the breadth of innovation required before you can get anywhere near what we have to do, which is zero.
Zero. Does that mean we get rid of cows? I mean, does that mean we get rid of, how do you stop this? And what does it really mean when we hear, you know, people talk about this? They talk about eliminating cattle or reducing human populations. Explain that a little so that everyone out there can understand, because I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. I mean, I've been doing research on environmental issues for 20 years, and even I didn't know. I discovered in my research for Apocalypse Never that if you go vegetarian, you will only reduce your carbon emissions, your total greenhouse gas emissions by 2-4%. So it's really, food and agriculture are not, if you want to reduce carbon emissions, are not the place to focus. I mean, this is, and the other issue is the free range cattle. I mean, people have sort of said, oh, organic free range cattle, but those require around 20 times more land than normal modern beef. And so I think we've allowed a kind of romantic view, an older view. Look, I mean, my mom grew up on the farm. I love going to the farm. I love farms. Mm-hmm. But what's actually important to saving the natural environment is to be able to grow more food on less land. And that means that you need a lot of technology. So I think there's just been a lot of myths out there. You know, the truth is that carbon emissions have actually been going down in rich countries, most rich countries, in some places like Britain, France, and Germany, they've been going down since the mid 70s. Most energy experts, including myself, believe that carbon emissions will peak sometime in the next 10 years or so and then go down. You know, most air pollution peaked in the 60s or 1970s in rich countries. So there's been a lot of alarm. There's been a lot of financial interests mm-hmm. that have pushed for action, particularly the industrial wind, industrial solar lobbies. You know, the fact is that we've done incredibly well in reducing air pollution and carbon emissions with natural gas and with nuclear power, but those are two technologies that climate alarmists adamantly oppose.
Talk about that. I mean, about what changed your mind, especially on the use of nuclear power?
Well, I mean, I first The first change was that I felt that we needed to have a technological solution. I didn't see 7 to 8 billion people deciding to become poor again. Most of us like living high standard. Most of us like our high standards of living, and those of us that don't have them yet want them. So I knew there needed to be a technical solution. The problem with renewables is that they require so much land. So it takes about 300 to 400 times more land to generate the same amount of electricity from a wind or solar farm as it does from a nuclear plant or a natural gas plant. If we care about the natural environment, we want more land for endangered species, not less. So, you know, on nuclear, once I understood that it was the power density, that's just a fancy way of saying it requires a lot less land to produce a lot more energy. Once I understood that nuclear had this high power densities, then I just had to resolve my fears, which really date back to being afraid of the bomb. You know, as a kid, I grew up in the end of the Cold War. It was very scary. Nuclear weapons are scary, so it's not like you shouldn't be scared of them. But nuclear power plants are totally different. If they have problems, they can melt, and you have accidents that have gotten people very frightened. But the truth is, when you look at the accidents, they harm far fewer people than anybody realizes. In fact, only Chernobyl killed people. Only about 200 died. The reality is that nuclear is our safest form of energy. People are shocked when I say that, but that's what all the science shows.
Well, I got to tell you, you got to be facing enormous backlash from people that I think were once your colleagues or your friends, especially for speaking out, for looking at the other side of this, for telling the truth. Is that true? And the second part of that question is, how do we get the truth out to our children? The ones who we talked about at the beginning, Michael, who are afraid, who have now been told over and over again that their world is ending. How do we reconcile this? How does your book, your knowledge of what's happened, get out there to the rest of the world?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that my book would inspire some controversy. I didn't expect to be censored, first by Forbes and now by Facebook. You know, a group of activist scientists have attacked the book, actually spreading false information. I point out that natural disasters have declined. So you can't claim that climate change has increased natural disasters if natural disasters have gotten better. You know, the truth is, though, I've also been gratified by the response. The book was a bestseller. It was number 7 on Amazon last week. It's made most of the bestseller lists. I wrote the book in part because I wanted to write a book that teenagers could read. It's got some difficult passages, but I wrote it as simply as I could. Been incredibly gratified by the response. I mean, I think that what you're doing, Sarah, is incredibly important. These kinds of podcasts, I'm going to start making little videos on it. But what I did with the book is I joked that I secretly hid an environmental studies textbook inside a bunch of really fun stories, adventure stories. There's a bunch of really sympathetic characters in the book. We talk about how we save the whales, how you save the gorillas. Ultimately, I think the book gives people a very positive sense of our future. Most of the news on the environment these days is actually good. You just never hear it because there's people that are trying to get control over the economy, over our lives, over our society. Most of them don't have very good motivations, I'm afraid to report. There's financial interests here, there's political interests. And I think there's just a lot of lost souls, as I say, people that are trying to kind of construct a new religion when really what we need to be doing is just caring for the planet, caring for each other. It's really simple things that make a difference in terms of improving our environment. We don't need this kind of radical takeover of the economy.
Before I let you go, Michael, what worries you most? If the truth doesn't reach the people, if the radical left is able to use this narrative, a false narrative, and it's something that I mean, throughout my career, this has been the most difficult challenge, is getting the truth out, the facts to not just the American people, but to the world. What is your biggest concern about this lie?
I mean, the biggest issue, obviously, there's the impact on our kids and the anxiety, but the biggest issue is just that there's an aggressive effort to deprive poor countries of the modern energy they need, and not just fossil fuels, but also hydroelectric dams, nuclear power plants. You know, the World Bank has basically shifted all of its funding away from cheap and reliable energy towards expensive, unreliable power. And certainly the media environment is very scary. I will also say, though, that social media works both ways, and we have been able to create community. I've been receiving huge amounts of emails from people who have been gratified by the book. So I do hope that people read the book. We put many years of work, and there's a, you know, of the 400 pages, 100 pages are footnotes, all from the best available science, all from the best available scientific bodies. You know, the journalists have really distorted what the facts are on this. And my hope is that the book really presents a fuller picture of what's going on in the world. There's a lot to really be inspired and excited about, I think.
I think it's wonderful. I actually agree with you. And I want everyone out there, where can they go to purchase your book? Where can they go to read more about this? If they're interested, if they want to get more involved in the environment, in the things that we really need to be actively involved with, where can they go to learn more about this, Michael?
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, the book is available on Amazon. I hope people consider buying the hardcover. It's a little bit more expensive, but it comes with 8 pages of color photos that really tell the story of this incredible adventure in saving the environment, also lifting people out of poverty around the world. And then my organization is called Environmental Progress. So environmentalprogress.org, people can sign up, get information on the events that we have, the Zoom casts, all the conversations. So yeah, thank you very much, Sarah. It's been a really exhilarating journey over the last couple of weeks. And this is just the kind of conversation I was hoping to have.
Thank you so much. It is the conversation I was hoping to have also, Michael. And I would love for you to come back on the show and we could go into more details with this later, because I think it's so important. And look, I believe we need to do our best to save our environment, to help our planet be the best that it can be for us too, and for our future and for our children. And it's good to know that there's great news out there. And it's also good to know that there's so many people out there willing to make a difference. Please, everyone, get the book Apocalypse Never. It is a fantastic book. Go to Amazon.com and get it. And thank you, Michael, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Incredible interview with Michael Schellenberger. I can't tell you, you know, it's so sad, but he's right. So many of our kids, our youth, are scared now. Their anxiety is up. They think the world is actually going to come to an end. There's people out there advocating that they don't have children, that they make the choice not to have children. This is real insanity here, folks, because it's not based on facts. There are facts. Read it for yourself. Look at the footnotes. Look at the research in Michael Schellenberger's book. Just look at it. I want to play a clip. And this is not to make fun of Greta Thunberg or anything of the sort. I want you to hear the anxiety in this young girl's voice, because she actually really believes that the world is coming to an end. And and this is what's happening to our children. This is what they're being taught in school. Remember, there is a globalist agenda here, especially when it comes to global warming. And you got to look at the money that's being withheld from nations in poverty. You got to look at what people are doing to make money off of this, and why they want to keep the charade going on. Let's listen to Greta really quickly, and then I'll come back to you.
With today's emissions levels, that remaining CO2 budget will be entirely gone within less than 8.5 years. There will not be any solutions or plans presented in line with these figures here today, because these numbers are too uncomfortable, and you are still not mature enough to tell it like it is. You are failing us. But the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you.
She is really stressed. So are a lot of young people that have been lied to. This is about an agenda. This is a globalist agenda. We've seen this agenda in many other forms, and we have seen how powerful the media can be when it does not do its job. When I used to just do journalism out on the beat in Afghanistan, in Iraq, or covering the U.S.-Mexico border, or working inside L.A. doing social justice stories with, Latino gangs, African-American gangs, working with youth and trying to present their stories, it was always this angst. You know, I got to get the truth out, present all the facts as they are, And a lot of times those facts just didn't add up. I'd go to Afghanistan. I'd hear all the time at congressional hearings from leadership, even General Petraeus. Oh, we're about ready to win this war. This was from the very beginning when I started heading over there in like 2008, 2007. You know, we're winning. It's going to be a turnaround. There's going to be a change. All of the information that came out of the Pentagon, out of the CIA. Where are we today? How many years has it been? How many lies have we been told? Sometimes they're not intentional and sometimes they are intentional. What's happened here too with global warming and the perpetual lie is because people bought into it and now they're afraid of telling the truth. Now they're afraid of coming forward. And there's also a lot of very powerful people who not only bought into it, but have a lot of money at stake in the global warming charade. Of course there are problems on planet Earth. Of course we all create some kind of problem here or there, but we are not dying. Our planet will not disappear, not right now. We're better off than we have been throughout history, both our health and our world. And we've seen that. And our technology and our science. There are so many things that we should be grateful for. You and I, we could go to a hospital now. Even giving birth, having a child in a modern society, our lives are saved. Our children are saved. Vaccines, do not be afraid. They are trying to scare you. They are trying to scare your children. These globalists, these radicals do not want you to know the truth. They want you to be afraid. Because when you're afraid, you buy into their lies and you give up your freedom. You give up your freedom of choice. Don't allow them to do that to you. Don't allow them to do that to this world or to our nation. And, you know, I said on Steve Hilton's show this weekend, I said it on Laura's show last week on Fox News, if you guys were watching, if you're not, I'm going to say it to you here. We have to be very careful. We have to be willing to take a step back and not buy into the lies. Our country can fundamentally change forever. You won't get that back. Once you give it up, you will not get that back without a fight. And sometimes you won't even see it coming. It will just happen in a blink of an eye, like it did in Venezuela, like it did in Cuba, like it did in the USSR, like it is in Russia now. And there could be something new, like China. Do not give up your rights, your freedom, your liberty. Too many people in our country have spilt blood to keep that intact, to keep our nation the greatest nation on earth, which is the reason why, just look at the facts, which is the reason why people from all over the world try to get here, legally or illegally. That should make you feel proud. You should be proud that you are an American. You should read the truth. Don't be afraid of it. Don't let people book burn because it doesn't fit their agenda. And thank you for being with me today on The Sarah Carter Show. I am so grateful. Remember, you can follow me at Sarah Carter DC. That's on Twitter. And at S Carter DC on Instagram. And read all the latest stories at sarahacarter.com. And please watch me on Fox News. It's great being there. It's great being a part of the Fox family. Thank you for being with me. We are taking the story back, America. God bless.